At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com.
Blues, it happens every night, and I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
Sure haven't.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind, so I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care, no.
Don't care.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Listen right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, not so live, from the low budget live bar and grill here in cold Southern Tennessee is cold right now. I'm over February, but we're almost there. We're at the middle of the month. We're almost there. What is going on, low lifers? And if you are new to the low budget live experience, the low budget live, not so live lifestyle, that song was Biloxi Blues. It is a song I wrote. Is it a song I recorded back in 2013? And if you like it, you can find it various places. But I get a lot of questions about that, so I like to address it because it makes me proud when people like the things that I do. It makes me feel all warm and tingly outside. But welcome back, low lifers. And welcome if you are finding this for your first time. Make sure to always hit the subscribe button on YouTube and tell your friends and them what you think about Low Budget Live. Man, it's always... I feel like every time there's a week in between when we talk to each other, there's a lot going on, but definitely been a lot going on. We're just coming off of Valentine's Day. This is the podcast for Monday, February 17th. Coming off this Valentine's Day, and man, I hope you took care of your ladies. I hope you loved them up. I hope you got them some chocolates. I am a big proponent of the sending the chocolate dip strawberries from Sherry's Berries. No sponsor there, but you can just swipe your card, get them strawberries delivered. And let me just tell you something. I've been doing that for the Triple Threat for several years now, and now it's expected, and they never let me down. I just ship those. The ladies that she works with, just they think that's one of the perks of her being married to me as well. So if you're on the road traveling like I am, man, send your lady some strawberries. But that's what I did. We also, we went out to dinner, and I did break the FAC. I did. I had a nice dinner in Nashville, caught a concert, and but I'm still feeling good. I'm under the 200-pound mark. Pat myself on the back for the first time in a long time, and now barely. I'm hanging in there like 199. So hope y'all are making it through these crazy holidays with candy. Hope you're making it through these cold winter days sitting in the house, because that's when I do my crazy eating. So I'm just sitting around, and it's raining, it's cold, and there's nothing to do outside, nothing to keep me busy. That's when I am at my worst. So I hope y'all are making it through there, all you fat assers out there. But we're getting close. We're getting close to that Bassmaster Classic. And that's when we're going in this thing on March the 7th. I think we said the 6th originally, but because we're doing Low Budget Live from the Black Market Bar and Grill, Birmingham, Alabama, 8 p.m., this thing right here, with various other people. It's going to be a big show. And then after we throw down on a podcast for, say, an hour, hour and a half, we're going to play some live music. We being me and some other good friends of mine. And so we are going to throw down. If you are in Birmingham, Alabama, make sure they're there. But the most important thing, talking about this fat-ass challenge, this FAC, is we are going to do the final weigh-in between me and Big C to see who takes home the $500. And that'll also be the week when the listener challenge ends as well. So you guys be working hard. Be working hard. I will announce the prizes probably that night for that. Got a lot of things to announce that night. I got an exciting phone call about something else yesterday pertaining to that night. Something else, I'm talking to the amazing folks at StarTron Starbright who bring you every single low-budget live, not-so-live, and live, and live. They reached out. I think we're working on some things for that night with the fine folks at StarTron Starbright. This is like if your wife was your fuel tank, you know, and you get her some ratchet flowers or something, that's like putting ethanol in your gas tank. But this is like them chocolate dipped strawberries right here. StarTron. Enzyme fuel treatment. Your gas tank will appreciate it. Your weed eater will appreciate it. Your wife don't want ratchet flowers. She don't want some junky old gift for Valentine's Day. So next year, think back to this podcast when I told you, you know, don't buy her StarTron. I mean, maybe. I appreciate you supporting StarTron. Your wife probably get pissed about this, but StarTron, bringing you low-budget live Starbright cleaning solutions, bringing you clean boats, clean trucks, clean houses. They got all kind of stuff. Look those folks up. Support the people that support us. And let me run my mouth on this podcast. But they will very much be, the StarTron folks, a very big part of Low Budget Live at the Classic. I am so excited about that. And I'm very excited that next week, another Boats and Pros comes out. And man, people really seem to enjoy the first one. I'm still honestly taken back at the fact that people enjoyed it as much as they did. It was a vision I had. And it's still growing. It's still growing. And the second episode with Mr. Jordan Lee drops this coming Thursday. I got to see it. I have laid my eyes on it. And, man, I'm so proud of it. And Tanner Lyons, the work he did. Thanks to Jordan for coming out. His lovely dog Sage joined us in the boat. It's going to be a fun one. So be telling your friends about that. It's been a crazy week since us last stared into this camera and talked into yonder microphone and brought you guys a low budget, but you know, a really crazy week. And y'all know I run my mouth, right? I run my mouth and I can overstep my bounds running my mouth. But as you've seen this fall and over the years, the couple years that I've been doing this, and if you're a faithful low lifer, you know, I tell it like it is. As I see it, I don't necessarily do it because I think it's right. I do it to make myself feel better. That whole spiel. I've told y'all that many times. But last week, something really crazy happened during the MLF Bass Pro Tour, which after the Bassmaster ended, I kind of split screened it during the Bassmaster. We talked about that last week. Had them scheduled on top of each other. The Bassmaster ended on Monday, which is when LBL dropped for you guys last week. So congratulations, Paul Mueller. Congratulations to our buddy John Cruz, almost pulling off an LBL victory. Talk to us on the way to the St. John's River. Very cool. Very cool. A lot of guys had some good tournaments, and our guest today actually had a very unique tournament there, to say the least. We're going to talk to him shortly. But I was watching both events. They were both dealt really, Bass and BPT dealt really terrible weather conditions. Really terrible. They were dealt crazy water conditions. And I think the Bass Pro Tour won out as far as fisheries were concerned. I don't know what's going on at the St. John's River. It looks like there's just kind of in a downturn or something right now. It's very strange to see the weights. There's a Toyota series going on down there, formerly known as the Costas, formerly known as other things right now. And it didn't, you know, it's not taking a lot of weight. So very strange to see. But the Bass Pro Tour lasted until the middle of this last week, and they smashed. It was very top-heavy, but them boys smashed some big ones. Jordan Lee, our next Boats and Pros guest, had almost 33 pounds in five one day. Freaking big ones bit. You follow? They did. They changed the format a little bit. But there was something that happened on, I guess, the second to last day. Those things last forever, I feel like. But I was watching. I watched as much as I could. I've had a lot going on, but I watched as much as I could. And coverage was good. Everything was good. I can be super critical of MLF. We know that. BPT at times. But this was something that, and still will be, right? But I have to say I enjoyed the tournament. I did enjoy the tournament. I enjoyed watching Jacob Wheeler win. Congratulations to Jacob. Congratulations to Ott Defoe, Brian Thrift putting on a damn show. It was cool to watch. There was a lot of good ones caught. But something that popped up that I want to address, and I already did address this publicly on Twitter. If you follow me on Twitter, I said something about it on there. But somebody sent me a video, and I know a lot of people have shared this now, and I think it made its way to the Jim Jones Bass Fishing page on Instagram. Somebody tagged me in that too. But a video came out, and it was Ott Defoe in his boat doing his thing, fishing, and what did you think I was going to say? Breakdancing? He was fishing. Of course he was fishing. So Ott's up there, and his marshal says, "Hey, Ott," in this video clip, "Hey, Ott, I got a text here wanting me to tell you that Jacob Wheeler is catching them cranking." And I had to watch it like 15 times. I'm like, what? And then he throws a guy's name out. I believe the name is Steve Core. But he says, because Ott says, what? Ott kind of looks at him and he says, "Steve Core wanted me to tell you that Jacob Wheeler is catching them cranking," or "that Wheeler is catching them cranking." And that's it. And then they cut away in production. They go to another angler. So this got shared to me. And at first I didn't catch all the details of what was said. And I shared it and I said, you know, like tag MLF, of course, because that's childish and fun. But I said, man, this official will be finding another job. Poor Ott, you know, caught in the middle. Because I took it as like his buddy texted him, right? And he just said something. Because I've had marshals in the past that'll be like, man, I wish I could tell you something right now. And, you know, people want to talk fishing. So, honest to God, that's what I thought it was. But when I watched it again, and then I had several people messaging me that the name Steve Core was a tournament official, a tournament operations of tournaments or something, right? So, I tweeted that, like, this doesn't look good. And it didn't look good in context, but what I then found out, because I had a few guys reach out to me, the Fish BPT, and Alton Jones Jr. was one of them, Little Alton. Shout out to Little Alton on the top 10, too. Really good week. Caught one last minute to make it into the top 10. Really exciting. But anyways, I called Alton, and we talked on the phone, and it turns out, and apparently this has been for a while, a Major League Fishing Bass Pro Tour rule. And that rule is, and I don't know exactly how it's written, and that's what I asked Alton, you know, can the fans actually see your rules? He said he didn't know. And I don't know that they share the rules. I have no idea. That being said, that rule states that, and I'm paraphrasing because I do not know the exact wording, so don't crucify me, MLF PPT. But basically, if a spectator or innocent bystander blurts something out, like fishermen tend to do when they're seeing somebody, you know, if you're fishing down a stretch of boat docks and a guy's watering his plants on his boat dock and he goes, "Hey fella, there's a 7-pound bass right over here on the bed, right over here." You got your camera guy, you got your official. Well, you are required to report that. And what that does is that gets you out of failing a polygraph because their information rules are super tight. On paper, they're super tight. Right? A lot of polygraphs, a lot of things. So you're not even allowed to talk to your buddy that you room with about crankbaits, supposedly, right? It's hard to police, and it's random polygraph. Information rules are always very hard to police. They just are. And there are things, there are rumors that swirl about that kind of stuff in every tournament trail I've ever been in. That being said, this is their rule. If you get that information, you have to report it to your official, who then reports it to either the tournament, Mr. Steve Corr that was brought up, or whoever, and they then let the entire field know. So the entire field received that text message that Ott DeFoe got. Ott DeFoe was being filmed in that situation. Ott DeFoe is one of the best humans, in my opinion, that I've ever had the pleasure of speaking with, getting to know. I call him a friend. I like Ott a lot. His family, they're great people, okay? So, because I've seen negative stuff about him, and I joined in, not with Ott, but with Major League, and I deleted my post, and then I was quick to say, hey, man, I was wrong. This is the rule. And then I kind of defended him. And, dude, I took a beating from people for defending MLF that thinks that all I'm going to ever do on this microphone is bash him. And it's not the case, okay? You could call a spade, you can, where there's smoke, there's fire, whatever. But when you take crap out of context, you look silly. I looked silly in that moment. I did. So I wanted everybody to know that's their freaking rule. Apparently, Jacob Wheeler had a YouTube video on this similar situation last year. Now, I've also had conversations with people about this rule this week, whether it's a good rule or bad rule. You know, I think it's a weird rule because my thing is, if you're soliciting information, if you're going up to somebody and like, hey, man, you know where a 7-pounder is on a boat dock? Hey, man, you know where a brush pile's at? Hey, man, you know where I can catch some bass? That's breaking an information rule. If somebody blurts something out, yeah, I don't know. But it could definitely affect the outcome of the event at some point. What if Ott DeFoe had been right? Of course, Ott was catching him on a crankbait too. And what if he's right across from Jacob in the same pocket? Jacob's stacking numbers and Ott's throwing a shaky head. And somebody says, hey, they're catching him cranking. So Ott gets to know that. Ott picks up a crankbait, goes to smash it. I mean, there's definitely that risk with that rule. But I'll take this one step further because Alton Jones Jr. straightened me out, but I talked to Mark Daniels Jr. about this. I talked to a couple other guys, but a really good friend of mine that fishes was actually the reason that text got sent, because somebody blurted out that Wheeler was catching them cranking to him, so he had to report it. And that's the rule. That's the rule. So I've seen a ton of talk about it. I've seen, you know, people want me to address it and whatever. If it were taken out of context, if you take it out of context, it looks really bad. But when you know these things, and I saw people going, oh, it's convenient that they're calling it a rule now. It's not a rule. We're going to expose MLF for the truth. Well, man, I've done this with those guys and probably will again, and I probably will with Bass at some point just because I'm an opinionated guy. But, man, sometimes it's just not always a witch hunt, right? And I know that's crazy coming out of my mouth, but look, it's just not. It's just not. I've got a lot of dear friends that compete that you know, I'm mom's basement for saying that it's a made-up rule or something, you know? Like, it, just by tweeting what I tweeted, I don't know. I don't compete there, so I don't know the freaking rules. Once it was explained to me, it all made sense. So you gotta take that kind of stuff with a grain of salt. And my thing is, you know, for it to happen when and look, the producer should have got away from that shot if they didn't want the public to know it, because people are, of course, talking about it. But I think the public should know your rules. I think the public should know why that happened. And I feel like that JT, Chad, and Marty should have addressed what was going on, and they didn't. You know, I actually want to talk to JT's a buddy of mine. I'd like to ask why they didn't address it. You know, I don't know. But it was certainly something that was talked about. It looked bad in the moment. Context on it didn't look that bad. They had a good event last week. It was good. I said on the last podcast, I don't so much think the 2 pound minimum helped that. I think Eufaula helped that. You're not going to catch a lot of fish under 2 pounds. Wheeler did in his last hoorah there when he was smashing stupid numbers of fish. He caught a few under 2 pounds. I didn't see a ton under two caught in the times I watched it, but they're going to Okeechobee next, and it will play a factor down there, I believe. But really cool event, I felt like, for those guys. A lot of guys smashed big ones, and it was fun to watch. Power fishing, man. Dirty water power fishing. It was fun. It was fun. So great job to the guys that caught them there. Great job to the guys that caught them at the St. John's. There were I had some, you know, BP, Mr. Polnick, made him a cut down there. Buddy Gross caught him, Mom. Cole Kelly J nearly pulled it off with the jerk bait. Matt Airy, Scott Canterbury, you know, some boys catch him. That old boy, what's his name? Decker, Kyle Decker, I believe, caught a dadgum 10-pounder with his Marshall videoing. One of the best videos you'll ever see, if you haven't seen it. So much fun to watch. They both did, though, until those last couple days of the BPT. They got hammered by that water. Those weights, it was tough. I mean, I know guys snuck into the cut with 3 and 4 fish and things like that. They were just good ones. But man, they had some crazy conditions. Oh, Dustin Connell, holy crap. He smashed, too, and just ran out of steam there that last day. Couldn't any of them keep up with Wheeler's offshore stuff. But very, very cool. I want to get Wheeler on. I want to get some of those guys on to talk about some stuff. But very good event. Adrian Avena jumping in the water. Crazy footage. But yeah, wanted to address the infamous Ott Defoe official video because, look, man, it ain't, like I said, it ain't always got to be a witch hunt. And you may not agree with that. You may not agree with that. But, you know, I try to be fair. As fair as I can be, and I want to say that, and I want to say I'm sorry to anybody that bugged, because I deleted the tweet, of course, and took the video down. I didn't want any part of it, but you know, if you want to judge the video however you want to judge it, watch it and judge it, but I feel like I know the truth on that. I do. So there you go. I am going to text our guest. Sometimes you just get texts that go, what? So our guest today, very excited about talking to him. He's known him for a few years now, and he's just an interesting guy. He's a really great fisherman. He has a win on both the FLW Tour, actually his first ever FLW he won years ago, and he has a recently, in 2018, a win on the Bassmaster Elite Series down at Lake Travis. He was FLW Rookie of the Year. And we're going to see if we can get Mr. Drew Benton on the phone, because he had... Hello? Drew Benton!
Luke Duncan.
What's going on, brother? How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing good, buddy. I was just giving you this amazing intro, and then you answered... And, you know, I was saying earlier, no, you didn't win the St. John's River. And people are always like, hey, man, get the tournament winners on. Get so-and-so. No, I don't want to do that. Because the most amazing story, other than that 10-pounder, that boy caught that his Marshall was videoing, to me, the greatest story from the St. John's was Drew Benton.
Yeah, I caught a 5'11".
You did. You caught a 5'11". And, dude... And for those of y'all that don't know what we're talking about, I'm going to get Drew to tell the story, but, and if you keep up at all, you've heard it, but what a freaking crazy start to your Elite Series campaign this year, man.
Man, it really was. You know, Amanda wasn't due until the end of February, so we were thinking, get these first two events out of the way, have a baby, and then go to the classic.
Yeah.
And she had high blood pressure when she went to a doctor's appointment. After I'd already left, and they sent her to the hospital, and the high risk doctor come in there and said, let's have this baby. It's too much of a risk. So it was about noon on the first day. We were at a high school because our day had got canceled. And I was really kind of aggravated because I needed to fish that day. You know, we had all that weather coming in, and I had a few fish on bed, which is what I like to do. And I feel like I could have rolled up there and caught a decent amount of weight pretty quick that morning, and that was going to be my only shot.
Because you were going to tuck tail home?
Yeah, I mean, I felt like I could catch, you know, I don't know, I had three or four biggins on the head. I felt like I could go catch a decent bag and turn them in a trip and head home. But we ended up not getting to go, and, you know, I come on home, and we had the baby that morning at 1 o'clock, and I was, you know, we were all excited hanging around, and it got to be about 2 o'clock, and my wife looked over at me and said, "Hey, you know, they're an hour ahead over there." And I gave her a double take, like, "Do you really want me to go back?" And she says, "Yeah, go ahead." So I hop in the truck and drove like 90 miles an hour to get back to Palatka and got about 30 minutes away, and Trip called and said day two was canceled.
Unbelievable, man.
So I piled her back up in bed and went to sleep till about noon, and got everything back together and went out there and at least survived the first event of the year. But
to finish 25th, dude, is not easy in any event. And coming off of a week like that, back and forth, because it's what, 5 hours from your house to Palatka, probably?
Yeah, it's 5 hours. Back to Panama City. I actually live in Blakely, Georgia now, but
that's right.
She was down in Panama because that's where her doctor is, and she actually delivered a baby in same hospital we had our first boy in. So yeah, it was definitely a hill to climb.
Well, all things considered, I think people don't, and I know that people that travel for their jobs understand it, and people, Lord knows, our military understands it, but I don't think people, you know, they see us getting to fish tournaments, or they see us out fishing, and they see the social media stuff, and they see Drew Benton catching big ones off the bed last year at the St. John's, and they're just like, "Man, that is what I want to do. That is the life." But sometimes it being gone is a big burden. And
it is.
And in this situation, man, it's like you could have very easily missed your second kid being born. And those are moments you never get back. So Was it on your, I mean, obviously you thought you guys had till the end of February, you were going to get through St. John's, get through Chick. But when you're driving out there, is that in the back of your mind though?
It was in the back of my mind every day of practice. Every time I got up in the morning, I mean, it was in my mind. And that's just something that, you know, as, you know, competitors is what we do. It's, you've got to be able to, you know, understand that. And right here, I'm, as you're saying, get things out of your mind. I'm standing here in the parking lot, my wife's inside at a daughter's appointment. I can't make this up. My little boy comes out, pulls his pants down, and is peeing right out here in front of everybody in the bushes.
Listen, I'm a boy dad. I completely understand that, dude. I know the struggle.
Sorry. I'm standing here waving at cars going by saying sorry, but that's just what.
Listen, that's one of the benefits of being a man. I'm sorry, ladies. That's one of the benefits. And little boys learn that early. And they will pee in a park. My little boy, he'll pee at Walmart, right where the buggy carts go, where the dang shopping carts go by. He'll just pee. He don't care. None of them care, man. That's hilarious.
But get back to what we were saying.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, part of being competitive, you've got to be able to kind of turn that off and on. You know, I mean, it's very important. Your family is, you know, your rock and your support system.
That's why you're out there.
But you have a job to do. And the hardest thing was for me to leave that little baby, not even getting hardly hold him yet, and go back and fish a bass tournament. And much less be competitive. So definitely that was hard in itself.
Well, I had seen it on social media, and then I heard you talking to Mercer on stage about it, and I was like, man, I got to get Drew on to talk about it. Because being a dad, and all the dads listening to this can dang sure know exactly what you're going through right now and what your wife's going through, and what a good thing for y'all that they canceled Chick too.
Yeah, you know,
you get to spend some time at home. So when will you leave out for the Classic?
I think we're due in for our first day of practice on the 28th, so I'll probably leave on the 27th.
So your practice actually starts in February then, technically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. You looking forward to it? Is your third one? So you got those jitters out of the way. Now you're just, this one's all about a W, right?
I am. You know, it's one of those events that obviously every fisherman that's ever fished wants to get to. And being my third one, and knowing what to expect and kind of having that, I don't know, a little bit of experience of how the week goes, because it's a different event. I mean, the way you practice for it, the way you have off days, the way, you know, you're spread out, you know, from the lake to Birmingham for events and things like that. I understand how everything goes now a little bit better. And I just feel really good about it. I mean, you never know what to expect in your first one, and you're just always kind of happy to be there. And then the second one rolls around, and you got a little bit more confidence. But there's just a different feeling coming into the third one. I just feel like it. You're not just going to be satisfied being here. And that's kind of the way I'm going to go about the week.
Well, I think that I think it'll be a really good event, and I think that if it'll just stop raining.
Yeah.
That way y'all aren't fishing like in the parking lot at Birmingham. because the Tennessee River, I live about 40 miles north of it, and it's almost in my yard, I feel like, right now. But it's crazy, man. Pickwick's so high. I've never seen it this high. It's amazing. But what are you expecting if you've got kind of a pre-tournament notion going in? What are you expecting weight-wise? Like typical Gunnersville, you expecting big weights?
Well, I mean, I really don't know. I think that that it fished really good last year. Some guys come, you know, we had some tournaments there last year. It took some pretty good weight.
Yep.
But so far this year, I want to say the weight's kind of been down from a Gunnersville aspect. I think, you know, somewhere in that 21 to 22 pounds a day is going to be putting you right there, I feel like. Not those mid-20s to upper 20-pound bags. Now, that's not to say that we could have, you know, a warming trend and the water get right and somebody get on a good batch of pre-spawners moving up and bust, you know, 30 pounds or, you know, really get on them good. But I just, if everything stays the way it is now with the, like you're saying, the flooding and everything, I think if you have right around, you know, that low 20s a day, you're gonna scare somebody.
Does... In your mind, because you're a Seminole guy, I know, and you fish it a good bit. Does that being a grass lake, do you think that helps you going into Gunnersville as far as, I mean, and Seminole's a beast of its own with the timber and it's a totally different lake than Gunnersville, but does that prepare you, though, I feel like, for lakes like Gunnersville? And when you travel around fishing other lakes, you kind of call like on it, that experience?
I feel like it does. Gunnersville now seems like it has a lot more eelgrass. It seems like the eelgrass is kind of taken back over, and we don't have much eelgrass on Seminole.
Yeah, y'all are hydrilla.
Yeah, so it's different, but it's a lot of the same. I mean, you're still looking for, you know, those transition areas for those fish to be moving into places they're going to spawn. And, you know, I've fished tournaments there when the fish have spawned, so I know, you know, some good areas that they like to use. It's just a matter of getting out there. The thing about grass fishing is it's a needle in a haystack type gig. You know,
sure.
you could fish all day looking for a good grass hole and never find it.
Never get a bite.
So that's just one of those things you just got to have going into it. And it's this is one of those events that you could practice like that. You know, you're going into it trying to find that one magical spot or one or two magical places that you can win, you know, a big time event on. And you might go practice 3 days in the grass trying to find that and not find crap, you know, but that's okay. That's okay. I mean, it's the classic. You got to put it all out there. There's no points or anything. So
that's it. There's only one.
Definitely. I could, you know, see myself going back to the way I used to fish practice for Seminole tournaments. And, you know, a lot of people see us go to these places and wreck them or, you know, have good days, but they don't see those practice days where we catch one bass 13 and a half inches and are beating our head against the wall because we ain't done nothing or are worried that we're going to zero and everything else. This is one of those events where you just got to put it all out there, and that's what I intend to do.
Well, I have a feeling you'll smash them up, dude. And you make a really good point, because I can't tell you the times you go to a Lake Champlain or you go to a dang Lake Seminole, you go to Okeechobee, these famed fisheries, people are like, man, what I'd give to go there. And when you're coming off the water, you're like, man, I had two bites today. Am I in the right area? And then when you find them, but it's like these famed fisheries, it's not like going to a pond. It's not easy. Right. Just because it looks good on the stat sheet when everybody slaps down 15 to 20 pounds on some of these places sometimes, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into finding that. That's a great point, man. And in one like this where it's an all or nothing event, that's what you got to do. I mean, you ain't going for fifth. You're going to win the dang thing. But, dude, I'm really excited about this one. I think it'll be interesting. I mean, obviously, you know, I've talked on here a million times about everything that's happened, but you were one of the first guys that chose to stay at Bass. And I remember when that happened and you know, you kind of put, in my opinion, you were one of those guys, you, John Cruz, Seth Fider, but were guys that you put that Bass patch on, man, and you were really proud to stay. Can you tell me, and I'm not trying to necessarily be controversial or anything like that, I just want to know, what was your overwhelming thing? Why are you proud to fish Bass?
Well, I mean, when I set out to qualify for the Elites, you know, that was a big decision in itself. And I got there and, you know, I had a good first year. I won Rookie of the Year, and then I struggled a little bit. I you know, had a tough second season and didn't qualify for the Classic. And then the third year rolled around and I won an event. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like I was just getting it figured out, you know, over there. And for me to just up and quit something that I'd worked so hard at and just got figured out was just, it was real hard. I was just struggling with it. And I mean, I was really torn, you know, 50-50 on it. And it just had to follow your gut with it.
Well, and that's what Swindle and Polnick said, you know, about going back, you know. And when you say you're torn, I mean, I guess a factor in that is that 70% of the guys that you've competed against or looked up to or whatever are leaving. It's right. Got to be confusing.
Yeah, I mean, and I miss that aspect, you know, competing, lining my boat up against those guys and competing with them. That's part of it, too, that kind of had me torn and wanting to go. And at the same time, you know, I had a lot of respect for Chase Anderson and the new ownership over there. I kind of felt like they had walked into something that they didn't realize.
Yeah.
And they were doing the best that they could. You know, they were trying. And, you know, I give a lot of respect for somebody who puts their pants on just like I do and is going to try to make things better. I guess at the turning point for me was it was getting close to the end where I had to really make a decision. And I called Jim Wilburn up, and I asked him a real simple question, and he was honest and told me that basically my question to him was, you know, I understand a lot of the coverage is going to be on the Cup events. And I said, my title sponsor is Bagley. They've been with me since day one, and I've got to have value to them. Can I promote their products? And he said, well, you can promote it, but we'll cut it out. And right then I hung the phone up and I knew exactly what I was going to do.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Well, I get that, because the sponsors make all this possible, whether it's a podcast, YouTube channel, Elite Series career, BPT career, FLW career, whatever. We got to have sponsors, or it's not, or none of it exists, because you can't make a living off tournament winnings alone, you know? You just can't.
Exactly. And I've been with them, you know, my whole career.
No doubt.
And I could not do that to a company that was getting me down the road. And, you know, the feeling was already there deep down, and that just solidified it that much more. It just felt like I was in the right place. And here's the other part of that. You know, if it worked and it's good over there after 3 years, why couldn't I just go qualify for it just like I qualified for the Elites if I wanted to go?
Exactly right. Exactly.
So why put my family at risk and try something totally brand new and go over there and do it? Why not let those guys take that risk? I can make a living for the next 3 years fishing bass, whether it does good, whether it fails, you know, whatever. And 3 years from now, they're killing it. You know, I reevaluate things and say, hey, maybe that's where I need to be. I'll go qualify for it.
Exactly.
And if
right.
I can't qualify for it, I don't belong.
Exactly right.
So that's exactly just the way right. I look at it.
Well, that's awesome, man, and good for you for standing up for what you believe in. And I know there was a lot of back and forth between guys that actually had conversations with them about going and then didn't go, and it got silly for a little while, you know. But we're all in this thing together, right?
And I don't blame anybody who did or didn't, or you know, for whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
Their decision was. I mean, it might have been the right decision for some guys, you know, that were in different positions. But I had a wife and a little boy, and you know, I had
and a young career, and a young career, really.
Exactly,
ultimately.
And yeah. I was kind of just getting started, and I could not put it all on the line because if I went over there and just say that format wasn't for me, okay, just say I sucked, which I probably would have because I'm a 7-bass-a-day guy, you know,
yeah,
I'm,
7 bites, yeah, grinder.
So I'm not wanting to go out there and catch 29 bass in a period or whatever they got going on over there. So I kind of realized that if that wasn't for me, you know, my career might be over and I might be going back out down there to the docks and working. And that's just not acceptable for me.
That fear drives you, you know, that hunger. You got to stay. Yep. Dude, I get it. No, I look at it all the time. And whether you love the format or hate it, when I was sitting here watching Jacob Wheeler on live, catching one after another, after another, after another, I'm like, I'll be honest with you, man. That's pretty good. But I don't know. Yeah. But I'm like you. I'm like a 7 or 8 bite a day at the most kind of guy, even if I'm catching whatever. You know, mm-hmm. it's one here, one there. Well, that's awesome, man. I think that, you know, I hope all the dust settles. I've said this. I hope that those guys are happy and they do their thing and that the bass guys are happy and they do their thing. And it all kind of it settles out and life goes on. And it is. It's fishing time now. The season started. The Classic's coming. Biggest tournament in the world. And things will settle out. And I talked about this before you came on. They had a good event last week. They did. From a fish catching standpoint, it was kind of top heavy. But, dude, they caught some big ones. And that just is what it is. The St. John's got plagued by bad weather, but they still caught big ones down there. And it was two interesting events to watch. I try to watch as a fan of the sport and covering the sport like I do. I tried to watch both. So it's gonna be a cool year. I got one question for you, and I know I've kept you, and you got little boys peeing in the parking lot, and you got a newborn, so I won't keep you forever. But talk about the dynamic, because I know Mullins, I know Drew Cook a little bit. I got to meet Drew last year, and talk about a little bit. You guys, you came off of this big transition. Everybody leaves. And you and Mullins and Drew seemed to make this trio and all had a really good year last year. Drew won Rookie of the Year, and he's obviously a fish catcher. Mullins catches him. Mullins called him down at St. John's. But talk about – do y'all share a lot of what's going on? Do y'all have each other's – but how does y'all's rooming situation work?
Yeah, so, you know, originally, obviously, me and Mullins started off rooming together. And then Cook came in, and he's from right down the road from me when I lived here in Panama City. And we fished a bunch of team tournaments against each other and things like that. So I knew him. He knew me pretty well. And when he started trying to qualify for the Opens, I was fishing the Opens division that he was fishing. He actually was fishing both of them, but I was fishing one of them. And I said, hey, man, I know you're trying to qualify. If you want, you know, we'll work together. And if I've got anything, you know, I'll give it to you and try to help you, you know. And it really worked well. You just know right off the get-go when you work well with somebody. You can trust them, and we just kind of shared everything, and it worked out really well. And he qualified, and we're all over here. Me and Mullins had always bounced ideas off of each other, but I think last year we took it to a new level. You know, when Cook come in, you know, we shared everything. I mean, we shared everything as far as fishing locations to bed fish. I mean, we knew that we weren't going to be starting on the same 2 bed fish. We knew, you know, if one of us was starting over here, and one of us is catching them, the other one's going to pull in there and do the same. You know, that's just the way it was. And, you know, Mullins kind of got on the same deal with us, and I think we both, in all three, ended up in the top 20 in points, and it just really worked well. I mean, when you got three guys on the water for 3 days of practice, chances are really good one of you's going to figure something out. And at the end of the day, we're just trying to make a living. So it doesn't hurt my feelings to finish below one of them two if I'm, you know, giving them something. And if as long as we're all on the same page and nobody gets greedy, it all works out well. And it really did last year.
Well, that's awesome. And I was going to say that that's the only way those work in professional fishing, because I've been on the good end and bad end of those a couple times. And it's the only way it works is if everybody's open and honest. And that's, but I'll just watch, you know, knowing you guys, and just, you see it, man. Everybody, y'all seem to be, and you and Mullins have been buddies forever from turkey hunting up there. There was something, y'all cracked me up, turkey hunting after one of the elites out in the field. Grand. Behind that. Yeah, Grand. Yeah, y'all killing turkeys after the weigh-in in a field behind the rental house y'all are staying at, cracking me up. But you and Cook, your styles definitely seem to mesh, you know, from that same general area, but y'all seem to do a lot of the same things. And then you throw in Mullins, who is East Tennessee and really completely different than you guys, I feel like, as right. far as his angling skill set that he likes to go after the most. So it makes y'all really dangerous, I feel like.
Well, yeah, I mean, at Cayuga, me and Cook were clueless. I mean, clueless. And Mullins like, hey, catching them on a 5X deep cranking, you know, in this depth of water. And we all went, and Cook made the top 10. I can't remember where I finished, but I had a pretty good tournament. So,
that's awesome,
I mean,
man.
Just stuff like that. I mean, that saves you from that bomb, you know. And, you know, as long as nobody gets jealous of each other, finishing ahead of each other and things like that, it definitely works well.
Well, that's awesome. And are you guys going to do any kind of video in this year when y'all are all together, anything like that, to show some of the shenanigans?
So we are, actually. It's going to be called The Cut Line. It's going to be cut on Bassmaster.com.
Okay.
Living Life on the Cut Line.
Okay.
And it's going to be on Bassmaster.com and the Mossy Oak Go app. And
right on.
You know, this particular first one, you know, with me going back to the Panama and everything, we didn't get everything accomplished in the first one that we wanted to, but it'll tell the story of
no
exactly
yeah.
kind of what went on. So, but yeah, that's something exciting that we're doing this year. It kind of gives everybody a different look into what we do and what we go through, you know, how we practice walk for an event and break it down between the, you know, three of us and figure everything out. So it'll definitely tell the whole tale if you follow along.
Well, do you have any footage of Mullins asleep on the couch with Andy Griffith on in the background?
Oh, that's coming. I mean, that happens everywhere we go. So that's
going to be a lot of B-roll of that. A lot of B-roll of Mullins on the couch watching Andy Griffith.
Absolutely.
Gerald Swindle really, really likes to beat Mullins up over his Andy Griffin. Really likes to beat him up over it.
That and Duke football. He was pissed at Duke the other night. He turned it off. Okay, I had the own. We were staying at Cliff Prince's mom and daddy's house, and in my room was the only TV. So he was in there in the bed watching, and he got so pissed he went to bed. And all of a sudden, I'm like almost asleep. And he busts in there. He says, they tied it up and they went to overtime.
Oh, the North Carolina game?
Yeah. And I said, you're a sorry fan. You turned it off because they were doing bad.
Exactly.
And we're going to come in here and watch them win. I said, that's a sorry fan. We give each other a hard time.
But the boys at East Tennessee Vol, and he pulls for Duke. That's what gets me with him. That's what I've always given him crap about, is as big a basketball fan, because he's a basketball nut. I'm like, Tennessee had a great basketball team last year. You ain't pulling for them. You pulling for Duke. Come on, man. They're going to take your orange card away from you. You go big orange. Oh, man. Well, dude, I look forward to watching that. And, y'all make sure, if you listen to this, go follow Drew on everything, Facebook, Instagram. But make sure you check out that series. It sounds like that's going to be really cool to watch. Those three are characters, to say the very least. And really good guys out there working hard to make a living and feed their families out there on the Bassmaster Elite Series. Drew, dude, congratulations on the craziness and the new Bambino. And, man, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me today.
Oh, I really appreciate it, Luke. If we can just keep this first one from killing the second one, we'll be money ahead. I tell you what, you look back there and he's got him by the arm and he just can't let him go.
Listen, I've got a house full of those. And I would like to say that the trying to kill them never stops. So that's my little ray of sunshine for you today.
Good enough.
Yeah, you're not out of the woods, son, for a long time. All right, Drew. I hope you have a good one, buddy, and good luck at the Classic. I'll see you in Birmingham.
All right, thanks, Luke. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Drew. Drew Benton, right there. It was a lot of fun. Man, I really appreciate it. You can hear he's got craziness going on. His little boy's peeing in a parking lot. And if y'all got little boys out there, had little boys, y'all understand that situation. Your little man, when it's time to go, they're fixing to do. And I think his little boy is like 4 years old, 4 or 5 maybe. But when they got to go, they're fixing to go. It don't matter who's around. It could be a lady that goes to church next to you. It could be, the police. They don't care. That's where it's going to happen, right there in that spot. That was really funny. You can't make that kind of stuff up when you're a dad. But y'all go check him out, and I really appreciate Drew coming on. His life is really hectic right now. I really want to say thank you to everybody that checks out Low Budget Live week after week after week after week, that comments, that sends me messages. I can't believe it, honestly. This is something, like I said, I've done it for 2 years, and you guys started paying attention. And it just keeps on getting better. It keeps on getting better. Be on the lookout for Boats and Pros this week. If you're coming to the Classic, mark your calendars for March 7th, the Low Budget Live. Live? You know what? I think we're done for the day. Thank y'all so much for everything. Hug your mama, always. I sure do miss mine. There's a butterfly Mr. Polnick sent me. Makes me think of her every time I see it. And I will see y'all next week on some LBL. Thank y'all. Some Biloxi Blues to send you into your week.
From Jackson Town to Tupelo, I never could make it last. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts, well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west. North, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got 3 good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.